Remember what I told you so long ago. Do what I cannot, Kelsier. Survive.
The word vibrated through him, and Kelsier gasped. He knew that feeling, remembered that exact command. He'd heard that voice in the pits, waking him, driving him forward, saving him. Kelsier bowed his head as he felt preservation fade, finally, and stretch into the darkness. Then, full of borrowed light, Kelsier seized the threads spinning around him and pulled. The power resisted. He didn't know why. He had only a rudimentary understanding of what he was doing. Why did the power attune to some people and not others? Well, he'd pulled on stubborn anchors before. He yanked with all his might, drawing the power toward him. It struggled, defying him almost like it was alive, until it broke, flooding into him. And Kelsier, the survivor of death, ascended. With a cry of exultation, he felt the power flow through him, like allomancy 100 times over, a feverish, molten, burning energy that washed through his soul. He laughed, rising into the air, expanding, becoming everywhere and everything.
"What is this?"
Ruin's voice demanded. Kelsier found himself confronted by the opposing god, their forms extending into eternity, one the icy coolness of life, frozen, unmoving, the other the scrabbling, crumbling, violent blackness of decay. Kelsier grinned as he felt utter and complete shock from Ruin. "What was it?" Kelsier asked, "that you said before? Anything I can do, you will counter? How about this?" Ruin raged, power flaring in a cyclone of anger. The persona cracked apart, revealing the thing, the raw energy that had plotted and planned for so long, only to be stopped now. Kelsier's grin widened, and he imagined, with delight, the sensation of ripping apart this monster that had killed preservation. This useless, outdated waste of energy. Crushing it would be so satisfying. He willed his boundless power to attack. And nothing happened. Preservation's power resisted him still. It shied away from his murderous intent, and push though he would, he couldn't make it hurt Ruin. His enemy vibrated, quivering, and the shaking became a sound like laughter. The churning dark mists recovered, transforming back into the image of a deific man stretching through the sky.
"Oh, Kelsier!" Ruin cried. "You think I mind what you have done? Why, I'd have chosen for you to take the power. It's perfect. You're merely an aspect of me, after all."
Kelsier gritted his teeth, then stretched forth fingers made of rushing wind as if to grab Ruin and throttle him. The creature merely laughed louder.
"You can barely control it," Ruin said. "Even assuming it could harm me, you couldn't accomplish such a task. Look at you, Kelsier. You haven't form or shape. You're not alive. You're an idea. A memory of a man holding the power will never be as potent as a real one with ties to all three realms."
Ruin shoved him aside with ease, though Kelsier felt a crackling at the thing's touch. These powers reacted to one another like flame and water. That made Kelsier certain there was a way to use the power he held to destroy Ruin, if he could figure it out. Ruin turned his attention from Kelsier, and so Kelsier took to trying to acquaint himself with the power. Unfortunately, each thing he tried was met with resistance, both from Ruin's energy and from the power of preservation itself. He could see himself now, in the spiritual realm, and those black lines were still there, tying him to Ruin. The power he held didn't like that at all. It tumbled inside him, churning, trying to break free. He could hold on, but he knew that if he let go, it would escape him, and he would never be able to recapture it. Still, it was grand to be more than just a spirit. He could see into the physical realm again, though metal continued to glow brightly to his eyes. It was a relief to be able to see something other than misty shadows and glowing souls. He wished that view were more encouraging. Endless seas of ash. Very few cities, dug out like craters. Burning mountains that spewed not only ash but lava and brimstone. The land had cracked, creating rifts. He tried not to think of that, but of the people. He could feel them like he felt the very crust and core of the planet. He easily found which ones had souls that were open to him, and eagerly he swung down in. Surely among these he could find one who could deliver a message to Vin. Yet they didn't seem to be able to hear him, no matter how he whispered to them. It was frustrating and baffling. He held the powers of eternity. How could he have lost the ability he'd had before, the ability to communicate with his people? Around him, Ruin laughed.
"You think your predecessor didn't try that?"
Ruin asked.
"Your power cannot leak through those cracks, Preservation. It tries too hard to shore them up, to protect them. Only I can widen cracks."
Whether his reasoning was correct or not, Kelsier couldn't tell. But he did confirm, time and time again, that madmen could no longer hear him. However, now he could hear people. Everyone, not just the mad. He could hear their thoughts like voices, their hopes, their worries, their terrors. If he focused too long on them, directed his attention to a city, the multitude of thoughts threatened to overwhelm him. It was a buzz, a rush, and he found it difficult to separate individuals from the mess. Above it all, land, cities, ash, hung the mists. They coated everything, even in the daytime. While trapped entirely in the cognitive realm, he hadn't seen how pervasive they were.
"That's power," he thought, gazing upon it. "My power. I should be able to hold that, manipulate it."
He couldn't. That left Ruin far stronger than he was. Why had Preservation left the mists untouched like that? It was still part of him, of course, but it was like a diffused army, spread as scouts throughout the kingdom, rather than gathered for war. Ruin wasn't so inhibited. Kelsier could see his power at work now, revealed in ways that had been too grand for him to recognize before ascending. Ruin ripped open the tops of ash mounts, holding them pried apart, letting death spew forth. He touched Kolos all across the Empire, driving them to murderous frenzies. When they ran out of people to kill, he gleefully turned them against one another. He had hold of multitude people in every remaining city. His machinations were incredible, complex, subtle. Kelsier couldn't even follow all the threads, but the result was obvious. Chaos. Kelsier could do nothing about it. He held unimaginable power, yet he was still impotent. But importantly, Ruin had to act to counter him. That was an important revelation. He and Ruin were both everywhere. Their souls were the very bones of the planet. But their attention, that could only be divided so far. If Kelsier tried to change things where Ruin was focused, he always lost. When Kelsier tried to stop the ash mounts, Ruin's arms ripping them open were stronger than his trying to seal them. When he tried to bolster Vin's armies with a sense of encouragement, Ruin acted like a blockade, keeping him away. In a desperate attempt, he made a push to approach Vin herself. He wasn't certain what he could do, but he wanted to try battering Ruin away, push himself, and see what he was capable of doing. He threw everything he had into it, straining against Ruin, feeling the friction of their essences meeting as he drew nearer to Vin, who was locked in a room within the Palace of Phadrex. His essence, meeting Ruin's, caused shocks through the land, trembles, an earthquake. He was able to draw close. He could feel Vin's mind, hear her thoughts. She knew so little, like he had known so little when he'd begun this. She didn't know about Preservation. The clashing pushed Kelsier's essence away, ripping Preservation back from him, exposing his core, like a grinning skull as the flesh was torn free. a soul lined with darkness, but which was connected to Bin somehow, tied to her by the inscrutable lines that made up the spiritual realm.
"Bin!"
he shouted, in agony, straining. The fight between him and Ruin caused the earthquake to intensify, and Ruin exulted in that destruction. It weakened his attention for a brief moment.
"Vin,"
Kelsier said, getting closer.
"Another god, Vin. There's another force."
Confusion. She didn't see. Something leaked from Kelsier, drawing toward her. And with a shock, Kelsier saw a terrible sight, something he'd never suspected. A glowing spot of metal in Vin's ear, so similar to the color of her brilliant soul that he had missed it until he'd gotten very close. Vin was spiked.
"What's the first rule of allomancy, Vin?" Kelsier screamed. "The first thing I taught you!"
Vin looked up. Had she heard?
"Spikes, Vin," Kelsier began. "You can't trust—"
Ruin returned and shoved Kelsier with a fierce burst of power, interrupting him. To hold on longer would have meant letting Ruin rip the power of preservation away from him completely, and so he let himself go. Ruin shoved him out of the building, out of the city entirely. Their clash brought incredible pain to Kelsier, and he couldn't help bearing the impression that, divine though he was limping as he left the city. Ruin was too focused on this place, too strong here. He had almost all of his attention pointed at Vin and this city of Fadrick's. He was even bringing in Marsh. Maybe. Kelsier tried to get close to Marsh, focusing his attention on his brother. Those same lines were there as had been with Vin. Lines of connection linking Kelsier's soul to his brother. Perhaps he could get through to Marsh, too. Unfortunately, Ruin spotted this too easily, and Kelsier was too weakened, too sore, from the previous clash. Ruin rebuffed him with ease, but not before Kelsier heard something emanating from Marsh.
"Remember yourself," Marsh's thoughts whispered. "Fight, Marsh. Fight. Remember who you are."
Kelsier felt a swelling of pride as he fled from Ruin. Something within Marsh, something of his brother, had survived. However, there was nothing Kelsier could do to help now. Whatever Ruin wanted in Fadrick's, Kelsier would have to let him have it. To confront Ruin here was impossible, for Ruin could best Kelsier in a direct confrontation. Fortunately, Kelsier had made a career of knowing when to avoid a fair fight. The con was on, and when the house guard was alert, your best bet was to lie low for a while. Ruin watched Fadrick's so intently, it would leave chinks elsewhere. 5.
"Do better, Kelsier."
He watched and waited. He could be careful.
"The hearts of men are not your toys."
He floated, becoming the mists, observing how Ruin moved his pieces. The Inquisitors were his primary hands. Ruin positioned them deliberately.
"The weakness of all clever men."
An opening. Kelsier needed an opening.
"Survive."
Ruin thought he was in control all across the Final Empire, so sure of himself. But there were holes. He was devoting less and less attention to the broken city of Urto, with its empty canals and starving people. One of his threads revolved around a young man who wore clothing wrapping his eyes and a burned cloak on his back. Yes, Ruin thought he had this city in hand. But Kelsier knew that boy. Kelsier focused his attention on Spook as the young man, overwhelmed and driven to the brink of madness, stumbled onto a stage before a crowd. Ruin had driven him to this point by wearing Kelsier's form. He was trying to make an inquisitor of the boy, while at the same time setting up the city to burn in riots and bedlam. But his actions in this city were like so many others. His attention was too divided, with his only real focus on Fadrick's. He worked in Urto, but didn't prioritize it. He'd already set his plans in motion. Ruin the hopes of this people, burn the city to the ground. All it required was for a confused boy to commit a murder. Spook stood on stage, prepared to kill in front of the crowd. Kelsier drew his attention in like a puff of mist, careful, quiet. He was the pulsing of the boards beneath Spook's feet. He was the air being breathed. He was the flame and fire. Ruin was here, raging, demanding that Spook murder. It wasn't the careful, smiling persona. This was a purer, rawer form of the power. This piece of him had little of Ruin's attention, and he hadn't brought his full power to bear. It didn't notice Kelsier as he drew back from the power, exposing his own soul and drawing it close to Spook. Those lines were there, the lines of familiarity, family, and connection. Strangely, they were even stronger for Spook than they'd been for Marsh and Vin. Why would that be?
"Now you must kill her," Ruin said to Spook.
Under that anger, Kelsier whispered to Spook's broken soul.
"Hope."
"You want power, Spook?" Ruin thundered. "You want to be a better Allomancer? Well, power must come from somewhere. It is never free. This woman is a coin shot. Kill her and you can have her ability. I will give it to you."
"Hope,"
Kelsier said. Back and forth.
"Kill,"
Ruin sent impressions, words.
"Murder, destroy, ruin.
Hope."
Spook reached for the metal at his chest.
"No,"
Ruin shouted, sounding shocked.
"Spook, do you want to go back to being normal? Do you want to be useless again? You'll lose your pewter and go back to being weak, like you were when you let your uncle die."
Spook looked at Ruin, grimaced, then cut into his body and pulled the spike free.
"Hope."
Ruin screamed in denial, his figure fuzzing, spider-legged knives spearing out of the broken shape he wore. Destruction sprouted from the figure and became black mist. Spook sank down onto the platform, slumping to his knees, then fell forward. Kelsier knelt and held him, drawing preservation's power back to himself.
"Oh, Spook," he whispered. "You poor, poor child."
He could feel the youth's spirit sputtering. Broken. Cracked through to the core. The boy's thoughts drifted to Kelsier. Thoughts of a woman he loved. Thoughts of his own failures. Confused thoughts. Deep down, this boy had been following Ruin because he'd wished so desperately for Kelsier to guide him. He'd tried so hard to be like Kelsier himself. It twisted Kelsier about, seeing the faith of this youth. Faith in him. Kelsier. The survivor. A pretend god.
"Spook,"
Kelsier whispered, touching Spook's soul with his own again. He choked on the words but forced them out.
"Spook, her city is burning."
Spook trembled.
"Thousands will die in the flames," Kelsier whispered.
He touched the boy's cheek.
"Spook, child, you want to be like me? Really like me? Then fight when you are beaten."
Kelsier looked up at the spiraling, churning form of Ruin, angered. More of Ruin's attention was focusing in this direction. It would soon rebuff Kelsier. Beating it here was only a small victory, but it was proof. This thing could be resisted. Spook had done it, and would do it again. Kelsier looked down at the child in his arms. No, not a child any longer. He opened himself to Spook and spoke a single, all-powerful command.
"Survive!"
Spook screamed, burning his metal, startling himself to lucidity. Kelsier stood up, triumphant. Spook lurched to his knees, his spirit strengthening.
"Whatever you do,"
Ruin said to Kelsier, as if seeing him there for the first time,
"I counter."
The force of destruction exploded outward, sending tendrils of darkness into the city. He didn't push Kelsier away. Kelsier wasn't certain if that was because his attention was still too focused elsewhere, or if he just didn't care whether Kelsier stayed to witness the end of this city. Fires. Death. Kelsier saw the thing's plan in a flashing moment. Burn this city to the ground, extinguish all signs of Ruin's failure. End the people here. Spook was already moving, confronting the people around him, giving orders as if he were the Lord Ruler himself. And was that Sazed? Kelsier felt a comforting warmth upon seeing the quiet terrace man stepping up to Spook. Sazed always had answers, but here he looked haggard, confused, exhausted.
"Oh, my friend," Kelsier whispered, "what has he done to you?"
The group obeyed Spook's orders, rushing off. Spook lagged behind them, walking down the street. Kelsier could see the threads of the future in the spiritual realm. Coated in darkness, a city destroyed. Possibilities ending. But a few lines of light remained. Yes, it was still possible. First, this boy had to save his city.
"Spook,"
Kelsier said, forming himself a body of power. Nobody could see him, but that didn't matter. He fell into step beside Spook, who practically stumbled along, one foot after the other, barely moving.
"Keep moving," Kelsier encouraged.
He could feel this man's pain, his anguish and confusion, his faith battered. And somehow, through connection, Kelsier could talk to him as he'd not been able to do to others. Kelsier shared in Spook's exhaustion with each trembling, agonized step. He whispered the words over and over.
"Keep moving."
It became a mantra. Spook's young woman arrived, helping him. Kelsier walked on his other side.
"Keep moving."
Blessedly, he did. Somehow the exhausted young man stumbled all the way to a burning building. He stopped outside where Sazed had been forced to shy away. Kelsier read their attitudes in the slump of their shoulders, the fear in their eyes, reflecting flames. He heard their thoughts pulsing from them, quiet and afraid. This city was doomed, and they knew it. Spook let the others pull him back from the fires. Emotions, memories, ideas rose from the boy.
"Kelsier didn't care about me," Spook thought. "He didn't think of me. He remembered the others, but not me. Gave them jobs to do. I didn't matter to him."
"I named you Spook," Kelsier whispered. "You were my friend. Isn't that enough?"
Spook stopped in place, pulling against the grip of the others.
"I'm sorry,"
Kelsier said, weeping.
"For what you must do, survivor."
Spook pulled from the grip of the others, and as Ruin raged above, sputtering and screaming, finally bringing in his attention to begin forcing Kelsier back, this young man entered the flames, and saved the city. 6. Kelsier sat on a strange, verdant field. Green grass everywhere. So odd. So beautiful. Spook walked over and settled down next to him. The boy removed the cloth from his eyes and shook his head, then ran his fingers through his hair.
"What is this?"
"Half dream," Kelsier said, plucking a piece of grass and chewing on it.
"Half dream?"
Spook asked.
"You're almost dead, kid," Kelsier said. "Smashed your spirit up pretty good. Lots of cracks."
He smiled.
"That let me in."
There was more to it. This young man was special. At the very least, their relationship was special. Spook believed in him as no other had. Kelsier thought on this as he plucked another piece of grass and chewed on it.
"What are you doing?" Spook asked.
"It looks so strange," Kelsier said. "Like Mare always said it would."
"So you're eating it?"
"Chewing it, mostly," Kelsier said, then spat it to the side. "Just curious."
Spook puffed in and out.
"Doesn't matter. None of this matters. You're not real."
"Well, that's partially right," Kelsier said. "I'm not completely real. Haven't been since I died.
But then, I'm also a god now, I think. It's complicated.
Spook looked at him, frowning.
I needed someone I could chat with, Kelsier said. I needed you. Someone who was broken, but who had resisted him.
The other you?
Kelsier nodded.
You were always so harsh, Kelsier,
Spook said, staring out over the rolling green fields.
I could see that deep down you really hated the nobility. I thought that hatred was why you were so strong.
Strong like scar tissue, Kelsier whispered. Functional, but stiff. It's a strength I'd rather you never need.
Spook nodded and seemed to understand.
I'm proud of you, kid, Kelsier said, giving him a fond punch to the arm.
I almost ruined everything,
he said, eyes downcast.
Spook, if you knew how many times I've almost destroyed a city, you'd be embarrassed to talk like that. Hell, you barely even broke that place. They put out the fires, rescued most of the population. You're a hero.
Spook looked up, smiling.
Here's the thing, kid, Kelsier said. Ben doesn't know.
Know what?
The spikes, Spook. I can't get the message to her. She needs to know. And Spook, she has a spike in her, too.
Lord Ruler, Spook whispered. Ben? Kelsier nodded.
Listen to me. You're going to wake soon. I need you to remember this part, even if you forget everything else about the dream. When the end comes, get people underground. Send a message to Vin. Scratch the message in metal, for anything not said in metal cannot be trusted. Vin needs to know about ruin and his false faces. She needs to know about the spikes, that metal buried within a person lets ruin whisper to them. Remember it, Spook. Don't trust anyone pierced by metal. Even the smallest bit can taint a man.
Spook began to fuzz, waking.
Remember, Kelsier said, Vin is hearing ruin. She doesn't know who to trust, and that's why you absolutely must get that message sent, Spook. The pieces of this thing are all spinning about, cast to the wind. You have a clue that nobody else does. Send it flying for me.
Spook nodded as he woke up.
Good lad, Kelsier whispered, smiling. You did well, Spook. I'm proud.
7. A man left Urto, forging outward through the mists and the ash, starting the long trip toward Luthadel. Kelsier didn't know this man, Goradel, personally. However, the power knew him. Knew how he'd joined the Lord Ruler's guards as a youth, hoping for a better life for himself and his family. This was a man whom Kelsier, if he'd been given the chance, would have killed without mercy. Now Goradel might just save the world. Kelsier soared behind him, feeling the anticipation of the mists build. Goradel carried a metal plate bearing the secret. Ruin rolled across the land like a shadow, dominating Kelsier. He laughed as he saw Goradel fighting through the ash piled as high as snow in the mountains.
Oh, Kelsier, Ruin said. This is the best you can do? All that work with the child in Urto for this?
Kelsier grunted as tendrils of Ruin's power sought out a pair of hands and brought them calling. In the real world, hours passed, but to the eyes of gods, time was a mutable thing. It flowed as you wished it to.
Did you ever play card tricks, Ruin? Kelsier asked, back when you were a common man.
I was never a common man, Ruin said. I was but a vessel awaiting my power.
So what did that vessel do with its time? Kelsier asked.
Play card tricks?
Hardly, Ruin said. I was a far better man than that.
Kelsier groaned as Ruin's hands eventually arrived, soaring high through the falling ash. A figure with spikes through his eyes, lips drawn back in a sneer.
I was pretty good at card tricks, Kelsier said softly,
When I was a child, my first cons were with cards. Not three-card spin. That was too simple. I preferred the tricks where it was you, a deck of cards, and a mark who was watching your every move. Below, Marsh struggled with, then finally slaughtered the hapless Goradel. Kelsier winced as his brother didn't just murder but reveled in the death, driven to madness by Ruin's taint. Strangely, Ruin worked to hold him back, as if in the moment he'd lost control of Marsh. Ruin was careful not to let Kelsier get too close. He couldn't even draw near enough to hear his brother's thoughts. Ruin laughed as, awash in the gore of the murder, Marsh finally retrieved the letter Spook had sent.
"You think," Ruin said, "you're so clever, Kelsier. Words in metal. I can't read them, but my minion can."
Kelsier sank down as Marsh felt at the plate Spook had ordered carved, reading the words out loud for Ruin to hear. Kelsier formed a body for himself and knelt in the ash, slumping forward, beaten. Ruin formed beside him.
"It's all right, Kelsier. This is the way things were meant to be. The reason they were created. Do not mourn the deaths that come to us. Celebrate the lives that have passed."
He patted Kelsier, then evaporated. Marsh stumbled to his feet, ash sticking to the still wet blood on his clothing and face. He then leaped after Ruin, following his master's call. The end was approaching quickly now. Kelsier knelt by the corpse of the fallen man who was slowly being covered in ash. Bin had spared him, and Kelsier had gotten him killed after all. He reached into the cognitive realm where the man's spirit had stumbled in the place of mist and shadows and was now looking skyward. Kelsier approached and clasped the man's hand.
"Thank you," he said. "And I'm sorry."
"I failed,"
Goradel said as he stretched away. It twisted Kelsier inside, but he didn't dare contradict the man.
"Forgive me."
"Now to be quiet." Kelsier let himself drift again, spread out. No longer did he try to stop Ruin's influence. In withdrawing, he saw that he had been helping a tiny bit. He'd held back some earthquakes, slowed the flow of lava. An insignificant amount, but at least he'd done something. Now he let it go and gave Ruin free rein. The end accelerated, twisting about the motions of one young woman who arrived back in Luthadel at the advent of a storm. Kelsier closed his eyes, feeling the world hush, as if the land itself were holding its breath. Bin fought, danced, and pushed herself to the limits of her abilities, and then beyond. She stood against Ruin's assembled might of Inquisitors, and fought with such majesty that Kelsier was astonished. She was better than the Inquisitor he'd fought, better than any man he'd seen, better than Kelsier himself. Unfortunately, against an entire murder of Inquisitors, it was not nearly enough. Kelsier forced himself to hold back.
And hell, was it difficult.
He let Ruin reign, let his Inquisitors beat Vin to submission. The fight was over too soon, and ended with Vin broken and defeated at Marsh's mercy. Ruin stepped close, whispering to her.
"Where's the atium, Vin?"
he said.
"What do you know of it?"
"Atium?" Kelsier drew himself near as Marsh knelt by Vin and prepared to hurt her.
"Atium? Why?"
It all came together for him. Ruin wasn't complete either. There in the broken city of Luthadel, rain washing down, ash clogging the streets, Inquisitors roosting and watching with expressionless, spiked eyes, Kelsier understood. Preservation's plan.
It could work.
Marsh snapped Vin's arm and grinned.
Now.
Kelsier hit Ruin with the full strength of his power.
It wasn't much, and he was a poor master of it. But it was unexpected, and it drew away Ruin's attention. The powers met, and the friction, the opposition, caused them to grind. Pain coursed through Kelsier. The ground throughout the city trembled.
"Kelsier! Kelsier!" Ruin said.
Below, Marsh laughed.
"Do you know," Kelsier said, "why I always won at card tricks, Ruin?"
"Please," Ruin said. "Does this matter?"
"It's because,"
Kelsier said, grunting in pain, his power taut.
"I could always force people to choose the card. I wanted them to."
Ruin paused, then looked down. The letter, delivered by Goradel not to Vin, but to Marsh, did its job. Marsh ripped free Vin's earring. The world froze. Ruin, vast and immortal, looked on with complete and utter horror.
"You made the wrong one of us into your Inquisitor, Ruin," Kelsier hissed. "You shouldn't have picked the good brother. He always did have a nasty habit of doing what was right instead of what was smart."
Ruin looked to Kelsier, turning his full, incredible attention on him. Kelsier smiled. Gods, it appeared, could still fall for a classic misdirection con. Vin reached to the mists, and Kelsier felt the power within him tremble, eager. This was what they'd been meant for. This was their purpose. He felt Vin's yearning and felt her question. Where had she felt this power before? Kelsier rammed himself into Ruin, the powers clashing, exposing his soul. His darkened, battered soul.
"The power came from the Well of Ascension, of course," Kelsier said to Vin. "It's the same power, after all. Solid in the metal you fed to Elend, liquid in the pool you burned, and vapor in the air, confined to night. Hiding you. Protecting you."
Kelsier took a deep breath. He felt Preservation's energy being ripped from him. He felt Ruin's fury pummeling him, flaying him, ravenous to destroy him. For one last moment, he felt the world. The farthest ashfall, the people in the distant south, the curling winds and the life straining, struggling to continue on this planet. Then Kelsier did the most difficult thing he'd ever done.
"Giving you the power,"
he roared to Vin, letting go of Preservation's essence so she could take it up. Vin drew in the mists, and Ruin's full fury came against Kelsier, slamming him down, ripping into his soul, tearing him apart.
8.
Kelsier was cloven asunder with a rending, pervasive pain, like that of a bone being pulled from a socket. He tumbled, unable to see or think, unable to do more than scream at the attack. He ended up someplace surrounded by mist, blind to anything beyond its shifting. Death for real this time? No, but he was very close. He could feel the stretching coming upon him again, coaxing him, trying to pull him toward that distant point where everyone else had gone. He wanted to go. He hurt so much. He wanted it all to end, to go away. Everything. He just wanted it to stop. He had felt this despair before in the pits of Hath-Sin. He didn't have Preservation's voice to guide him now as he had then, but, weeping, trembling, he sank his hands into the misty expanse around him and held on, clinging to it, refusing to go, denying that force that called to him, promised peace and an ending. Eventually it stilled and the stretching sensation faded away. He had held the power of deity. The final death could not take him unless he wanted it to, or unless he was completely destroyed. He shuddered in the mists, thankful for their embrace, but still uncertain where he was, and uncertain why Ruin hadn't finished the job. He'd planned to. Kelsier had felt that. Fortunately, Kelsier's destruction had become an afterthought in the face of a new threat. Vin.
She'd done it. She'd ascended.
Groaning, Kelsier pulled himself upward, finding he'd been hit so hard by Ruin's attack that he'd been driven far down into the springy, misty ground of the cognitive realm. He was able to pull himself out, with difficulty, and collapsed onto the surface. His soul was distorted, mangled, like a body struck by a boulder. It leaked dark smoke from a thousand holes. As he lay there, it slowly reformed, and the pain, at long last, faded. Time had passed. He didn't know how much, but it had been hours upon hours. He wasn't in Luthadel. De-ascending, then being crushed by Ruin's power, had flung his soul far from the city. He blinked phantom eyes. Above him, the sky was a tempest of white and black tendrils, like clouds attacking one another. In the distance, he could hear something that made the realm tremble. He forced himself to his feet and walked, eventually cresting a hill where he saw, below, that figures made of light were locked in battle. A war. Men against Kolos. Preservation's plan. He'd seen it, understood it in those last moments. Ruin's body was Atium. The plan was to create something special and new, people who could burn away Ruin's body in an attempt to get rid of it. Below, men fought for their lives, and he saw them transcending the physical realm because of the body of the god that they burned. Above, Ruin and Preservation clashed. Vin did a much better job of it than Kelsier had. She had the full power of the mists, and beyond that, there was something natural about the way she held that power. Kelsier dusted himself off and adjusted his clothing. Still the same shirt and trousers he'd been wearing during his fight with the Inquisitor long ago. What had happened to his pack and the knife Nash had given him? Those were lost somewhere on the endless fields of ash between here and Fadrix. He crossed through the battle, stepping out of the way of the raging Kolos and transcendent men who could see into the spiritual realm, if only in a very limited way. Kelsier reached the top of a hill and stopped. On another hill beyond, distant but close enough to make out, Elend Venture stood among a pile of corpses clashing with Marsh. Vin hovered above, expansive and incredible, a figure of glowing light and awesome power, like an inspiration for the sun and clouds. Elend Venture raised his hand and then exploded with light. Lines of white scattered from him in all directions, lines that drilled through all things, lines that connected him to Kelsier, to the future, and to the past.
He's seeing it fully, Kelsier thought. That place between moments.
Elend ended with a sword in Marsh's neck and looked directly at Kelsier, transcending the three realms. Marsh slammed an axe into Elend's chest.
No!
Kelsier screamed.
No!
He stumbled down the hillside, running for Venture. He climbed over corpses, shadowy on this side, and scrambled toward where Elend had died. He hadn't reached the position yet when Marsh took off Elend's head.
Oh, Vin, I'm sorry.
Vin's full attention coursed around the fallen man. Kelsier pulled to a stop, numb. She would rage. She would lose control. She would
rise in glory?
He watched, awed, as Vin's strength coalesced. There was no hatred in the thrumming that washed from her, calming all things. Above her, Ruin laughed, again assuming he knew so much. That laughter cut off as Vin rose against him, a glorious, radiant spear of power, controlled, loving, compassionate, but unyielding. Kelsier knew then why she and not he had needed to do this. Vin crashed her power against Ruin's, suffocating him. Kelsier stepped up to the top of the hill, watching, feeling a familiarity with that power, a kinship that warmed him deep within as Vin performed the ultimate act of heroism. She brought destruction to the destroyer. It ended in an eruption of light. Wisps of mist, both dark and white, streamed down from the sky. Kelsier smiled, knowing that at long last it was finished. In a rush, the mists swirled in twin columns impossibly high. The powers had been released. They quivered, uncertain, like a storm brewing. Nobody is holding them. Kelsier reached out, timid, trembling. He could... Elland Venture's spirit stumbled into the cognitive realm beside him, tripping and collapsing to the ground. He groaned, and Kelsier grinned at him. Elland blinked as Kelsier held out a hand.
"I always imagined death,"
Elland said, letting Kelsier help him to his feet,
"as being greeted by everyone I've ever loved in life. I hadn't imagined that would include you."
"You need to pay better attention, kid," Kelsier said, looking him over. "Nice uniform. Did you ask them to make you look like a cheap knockoff of the Lord Ruler, or was it more an accident?"
Elland blinked.
"Wow, I hate you already." "Give it time," Kelsier said, slapping him on the back. "For most, that eventually fades to a sense of mild exasperation."
He looked at the power still coursing around them, then frowned as a figure made of glowing light scrambled across the field. Its shape was familiar to him. It stepped up to Vin's corpse, which had fallen to the ground.
"Sazed,"
Kelsier whispered, then touched him. He was not prepared for the rush of emotion brought on by seeing his friend in this state. Sazed was frightened, disbelieving, crushed. Ruin was dead, but the world was still ending. Sazed had thought that Vin would save them. Honestly, so had Kelsier. But it seemed there was yet another secret.
"It's him," Kelsier whispered. "He's the hero."
Elland Venture placed a hand on Kelsier's shoulder.
"You need to pay better attention," he noted. "Kid."
He pulled Kelsier away as Sazed reached for the powers, one with each hand. Kelsier stood in awe of the way they combined. He'd always seen these powers as opposites, yet as they swirled around Sazed, it seemed that they actually belonged to one another.
"How?"
he whispered.
"How is he connected to them both, so evenly? Why not just preservation?"
"He has changed this last year," Elland said. "Ruin is more than death and destruction. It is peace with these things."
The transformation continued, but awesome though it was, Kelsier's attention was drawn by something else. A coalescing of power near him on the hilltop. It formed into the shape of a young woman who slipped easily into the cognitive realm. She didn't so much as stumble, which was both appropriate and horribly unfair. Vin glanced at Kelsier and smiled. A welcoming, warm smile. A smile of joy and acceptance, which filled him with pride. How he wished he'd been able to find her earlier, when Mare was still alive. When she'd needed parents. She went to Elland first and seized him in a long embrace. Kelsier glanced at Sazed, who was expanding to become everything. Well, good for him. It was a tough job. Sazed could have it. Elland nodded to Kelsier, and Vin walked over.
"Kelsier," she said to him. "Oh, Kelsier, you always did make your own rules."
Hesitant, he didn't embrace her. He reached out his hand, feeling oddly reverent. Vin took it, the tips of her fingers curling into his palm. Nearby, another figure had coalesced from the power, but Kelsier ignored him. He stepped closer to Vin.
What did he say?
Hell, he didn't know. For once, he didn't know. She embraced him, and he found himself weeping. The daughter he'd never had, the little child of the streets. Though she was still small, she'd outgrown him. And she loved him anyway. He held his daughter close against his own broken soul.
"You did it," he finally whispered. "What nobody else could have done. You gave yourself up."
"Well," she said, "I had such a good example, you see."
He pulled her tight and held her for a moment longer. Unfortunately, he eventually had to let go. Ruin stood up nearby, blinking. Or, no, it wasn't Ruin any longer. It was just the vessel A.T. A.T. ran his hand through his red hair, then looked about.
"Vax,"
he said, sounding confused. "Excuse me," Kelsier said to Vin, then released her and trotted over to the red-haired man. Whereupon he decked the man across the face, laying him out completely. "Excellent," Kelsier said, shaking his hand. At his feet, the man looked at him, then closed his eyes and sighed, stretching away into eternity. Kelsier walked back to the others, passing a figure in terrace robes, standing with hands clasped before him, draping sleeves covering them. "Hey," Kelsier said, then looked at the sky and the glowing figure there. "Aren't you—"
"Part of me is," Sazed replied.
He looked to Vin and Elland and held out his hands, one toward each of them.
"Thank you both for this new beginning. I have healed your bodies. You can return to them if you wish."
Vin looked to Elland. To Kelsier's horror, he had begun to stretch out. He turned toward something Kelsier couldn't see, something beyond, and smiled, then stepped in that direction.
"I don't think it works that way, Says," Vin said, then kissed him on the cheek. "Thank you."
She turned, took Ellen's hand, and began to stretch toward that unseen distant point.
"Vin!"
Kelsier cried, grabbing her other hand, clutching it.
"No, Vin! You held the power. You don't have to go."
"I know," she said, looking back over her shoulder at him.
"Please," Kelsier said. "Don't go. Stay. With me."
"Ah, Kelsier," she said. "You have a lot to learn about love, don't you?"
"I know love, Vin. Everything I've done, the fall of the Empire, the power I've given up, that was all about love."
She smiled.
"Kelsier, you are a great man, and should be proud of what you've done. And you do love. I know you do. But at the same time, I don't think you understand it."
She turned her gaze toward Elland, who was vanishing, only his hand in hers still visible.
"Thank you, Kelsier,"
she whispered, looking back at him,
"for all you have done. Your sacrifice was amazing. But to do the things you had to do, to defend the world, you had to become something. Something that worries me. Once you taught me an important lesson about friendship. I need to return that lesson. A last gift. You need to know. You need to ask. How much of what you've done was about love, and how much was about proving something? That you hadn't been betrayed, bested, beaten. Can you answer honestly, Kelsier?"
He met her eyes and saw the implicit question. How much was about us, it asked, and how much was about you?
"I don't know," he said to her.
She squeezed his hand and smiled, that smile she'd never been able to give when he first found her. That, more than anything, made him proud of her.
"Thank you,"
she whispered again. Then she let go of his hand and followed Elland into the beyond. 9. The land shook and groaned as it died and was reborn. Kelsier walked it, hands shoved in his pockets. He strolled through the end of the world, power spraying in all directions, giving him visions of all three realms. Fires burned from the heavens. Stones crashed together, then ripped back apart. Oceans boiled and their steam became a new mist in the air. Still Kelsier walked. He walked as if his feet could carry him from one world to the next, from one life to the next. He didn't feel abandoned, but he did feel alone, like he was the only man left in all the world, and the last witness of Eras. Ash was consumed by a land of stones made liquid. Mountains crashed from the ground behind Kelsier in rhythm to his footsteps. Rivers washed down from the heights and oceans filled. Life sprang up, trees sprouting and shooting toward the sky, making a forest around him. Then that passed, and he was in a desert, quickly drying, sand boiling from the depths of the land as Sazed created it. A dozen different settings passed him in an eye blink, the land growing in his wake, his shadow. Kelsier finally stopped on a lofty highland plateau, overlooking a new world, winds from three realms ruffling his clothing. Grass grew beneath his feet, then blossoms sprouted. Mare's flowers. He knelt and bowed his head, resting his fingers on one of them. Sazed appeared beside him. Slowly, Kelsier's vision of the real world faded, and he was trapped again in the cognitive realm. All became mist around him. Sazed sat down next to him.
"I will be honest, Kelsier. This is not the end I had in mind when I joined your crew."
"The rebellious Terrasman," Kelsier said. Though he was in the world of mist, he could see clouds, vaguely, in the real world. They passed beneath his feet, surging around the base of the mountain. "You were a living contradiction even then, Saze. I should have seen it."
"I can't bring them back," Sazed said softly. "Not yet. Perhaps not ever. The beyond is a place I can't reach."
"It's all right," Kelsier said. "Do me a favor. Will you see what you can do for Spook? His body is in rough shape. He's pushed it too hard. Fix him up a little. Maybe make him mistborn while you're at it. They're going to need some allomancers in the world that comes."
"I'll consider it," Sazed said.
They sat there together, two friends at the edge of the world, at the end and start of time. Eventually, Sazed stood and bowed to Kelsier, a reverent motion for one who was himself divine. "What do you think, Saze?" Kelsier asked, staring out over the world. "Is there a way for me to get out of this and live again in the physical realm?" Sazed hesitated.
"No, I do not think so."
He patted Kelsier on the shoulder, then vanished. "Huh," Kelsier thought. "He holds the powers of creation in twain, a god among gods, and he's still a terrible liar." Epilogue. Spook felt uncomfortable living in a mansion when everyone else had so little, but they had insisted, and besides, it wasn't much of a mansion. Yes, it was a log house of two stories when most lived in shanties, and yes, he had his own room. But that room was small, and it felt muggy at night. They didn't have glass for windows, and if he left the shutters open, insects got in. This perfect new world had a disappointing amount of normalcy to it. He yawned, closing his door. The room held a cot and a desk. No candles or lamps. They didn't yet have the resources to spare those. His head was full of Breeze's instructions on how to be a king, and his arms hurt from training with Ham. Beldra would expect him for dinner shortly. Downstairs, a door thumped and Spook jumped. He kept expecting loud noises to hurt his ears more than they did, and even after all these weeks, he still wasn't used to walking around with his eyes uncovered. On his desk, one of his aides had left a little writing board. They didn't have paper. Scratched on with charcoal, listing a few of his appointments for the next day. And at the bottom was a quick note. "I finally got the smith to make this as you requested, though he was timid about handling Inquisitor spikes. Not sure why you want it so much, Your Majesty, but here you go. At the base of the board was a tiny spike shaped like an earring. Hesitant, Spook picked it up and held it before him. Why did he want this again? He remembered something, whispers in his dreams.
Get a spike forged, an earring. An old Inquisitor spike will work. You can find one in the caverns that used to be beneath Credic Shaw.
A dream? He considered, then, perhaps against his better judgment, jabbed the thing through his ear. Kelsier appeared in the room with him.
Gah!
Spook said, leaping back.
You! You're dead! Vin killed you! Says his book says...
It's okay, kid, Kelsier said. I'm the real one.
I...
Spook stammered.
It... Gah!
Kelsier walked over and put his arm around Spook's shoulders. See, I knew this would work. You've got them both now. Broken mind, hemorrhagic spike. You can see just enough into the cognitive realm. That means we can work together, you and I.
Oh, hell,
Spook said. Now, don't be like that, Kelsier said. Our work is important. Vital. We're going to unravel the mysteries of the universe. The Cosmere, as it is called.
What do you mean?
Kelsier smiled.
I think I'm going to be sick,
Spook said. It's a big, big place out there, kid, Kelsier said. Bigger than I ever knew. Ignorance almost lost us everything. I'm not going to let that happen again. He tapped at Spook's ear. While dead, I had an opportunity. My mind expanded and I learned some things. My focus wasn't on these spikes. I think I could have worked it all out if it had been. I still learned enough to be dangerous, and the two of us are going to figure the rest out. Spook pulled back. He was his own man now. He didn't need to just do whatever Kelsier said. Hell, he didn't even know if this really was Kelsier. He'd been fooled once before.
Why?
Spook demanded.
Why would I care?
Kelsier shrugged. The Lord Ruler was immortal, you know. By a combination of the powers, he managed to make himself unable to age, unable to die under most circumstances. You're Mistborn, Spook. Halfway there. Aren't you curious about what else is possible? I mean, we have a little pile of Inquisitor spikes and nothing to do with them.
Immortal.
And you? Spook asked. What do you get from this?
Nothing big, Kelsier said. Just a little thing. Someone once explained my problem. My string has been cut. The thing holding me to the physical world.
His smile broadened.
Well, we're just going to have to find me a new string.
Postscript. I started planning this story while writing the original trilogy. By then, I'd pitched the idea of a trilogy of trilogies to my editor. This is the idea that Mistborn as a series would change epics and tech levels as the Cosmere matured. I also knew that Kelsier would be playing a major role in future books in the series. I'm not opposed to letting characters die. I believe that every series I've done has had some major, permanent casualties among viewpoint characters. At the same time, I was well aware that Kelsier's story was not finished. The person he was at the end of the first volume had learned some things, but hadn't completed his journey. So early on, I began planning how to bring him back. I saturated the Hero of Ages with hints as to what he was doing behind the scenes, and even managed to slip in a few earlier hints here and there. I made very clear to fans who asked me that Kelsier was never good at doing what he was supposed to. I am very aware of character resurrection as a dangerous trope, the balance of which I'm still figuring out. I didn't think this one was particularly controversial, in part because of the foreshadowing I'd done. But I do want death to be a very real danger or consequence in my stories. That said, Kelsier from the start was coming back, though at times I wavered on whether I was going to write this story or not. I was worried that if I wrote it out, it would feel disjointed, as so much time passes and so many different phases of storytelling had to occur.
I started writing it for a few years before I finally published it, tweaking scenes off and on here and there. Once I wrote The Bands of Mourning, it became clear to me that I'd need to get an explanation to readers out sooner rather than later. This set me to working on the story more diligently. In the end, I'm very pleased with how it turned out. It is a little disjointed, as I worried. However, the chance to finally talk about some of the behind-the-scenes stories going on in the Cosmere was very rewarding, both for myself and for fans. To forestall questions, I do know what Kelsier and Spook were up to directly following this story. And I also know what Kelsier was doing during the era of the Wax and Wayne books. There are some hints in those, as the original books have hints at this story. I can't promise that I'll write Secret History 2 or 3. There is already a lot on my plate. However, the possibility is in the back of my mind.